You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
For the 10 weeks surrounding the 2010 Olympics, you will not be able to use advertising in a public space unless you are sanctioned by the Vancouver Organizing Committee for the 2010 Winter Olympics. VanOck has made a blanket purchase of every major supply of ad space in outdoor and public venues in the Lower Mainland for the 10 weeks surrounding the Games. The BC Civil Liberties Association is calling for a government investigation into what they describe as VanOck's unconscionable efforts to stifle free speech. They have outlined their complaint in a letter to the Commissioner of Competition at the Competition Bureau. Robert Holmes is the president of the BC Civil Liberties Association, and I spoke with him yesterday. I wanted to start by asking you, what kinds of advertising spaces have been bought up by VanOck for the 10 weeks surrounding the Winter Olympics?
Well, from what the news media has reported and from what I think VanOck has confirmed, it includes things such as public transit vehicles, including the vehicle exterior, so that's the sides of buses and the like, transit stations and platforms, and that would include every bus stop, of course, that there are, and ALRT as well, airport baggage carousels, mall posters, outdoor billboards, everything that they could lay their hands on for the 10-week period surrounding the Olympic Games, they have bought up with this $40 million ad buy.
And do we know what they intend to do with the advertising spaces for the 10 weeks?
Well, some they're going to keep for themselves to promote VanOck, but the large proportion of it, we understand they aim to sub off to their own official sponsors. So if you have signed up as a corporate sponsor of the Olympics, then they are going to hand it off to those people so that they can advertise using the Olympic logo and pushing their own products. And of course, part of the guessing is that they already have in the contracts with those Olympic sponsors an obligation on their part to take up some of this advertising. Otherwise, there'd be a great big hole in the VanOck budget that they wouldn't be able to replace, because $40 million has to come from somewhere.
Now, you raised concerns about this at the BC Civil Liberties Association. What are your concerns about this buying of the public space?
Well, when you sit back and you think about how people are able to communicate and express their views and thoughts, and it includes everything from commercial speech to political speech to charitable speech or whatever else, a goodly amount of it is done through advertising and through use of what amounts to space that the public can see, which is the essence of advertising, that it fits in with the list of things that I've just recited that VanOck has gone off and purchased. So it's not just TV and the internet and radio that people look to for advertising. When you're dealing with what you are bombarded with as you go traveling along the public streets or using the public transit, that there are any number of advertising mechanisms that are in place that aim to catch your eye. When you look at the fact that there are those, and that VanOck has effectively taken all that there is for itself for a 10-week period, then our concern is that the ability of other people to speak is being eliminated. And the sad thing is that VanOck is candid in what they have said their purpose was, that they wanted to do just that. And so when you think through what your reaction would be, for example, if in the last federal election that we had, one of the parties had been able to go out and to buy up all of the advertising that there was, so only their voice got heard, naturally you'd be concerned that they were crowding out or shouting out what the viewpoints would be of all of the other people who are entitled to speak and, for the benefit of all the rest of us, we're entitled to hear.
So what's it going to actually look like on the ground during those 10 weeks for a non-sponsor business?
Well, they're going to be in a difficult position, aren't they? Because if, for example, if you're the United Way and you wanted to advertise on bus stops and the sides of buses and the like, and if you've done that typically as part of your fundraising activities, you're going to be precluded from that because it's all going to be soaked up by VanOck and its corporate sponsors. The same kind of a thing for anybody who is engaged in commercial speech, who has used those means of advertising. They're going to be blocked out for that period, and to be more pointed about it, for the things that are the main interest for our organization, for anybody who wanted, for example, to put an advertisement on the side of a bus or anywhere else that it could be seen by the public, criticizing the fact that the government's priorities had been such as to spend an awful lot of money on bringing the Olympics to Vancouver and having the Olympics here, rather than devote public funds and resources and time and energy to any number of other priorities. Those kinds of items of political speech will also be crowded out.
Do you think it's a deliberate attempt to suppress opposition?
Yes. I think when you look at it and you look at several other things that not just VanOck, but that the provincial government has engaged in for the past couple of years, that there has been a pattern of behavior that shows that they just don't like having other people gain any access to the marketplace for conveying their ideas, and that they take steps to try to get rid of it. One example that our organization intervened in as a case that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada involved TransLink. It had a policy barring political speech, political advertising, from any of its buses or other facilities. Now, the courts in BC held that to be unconstitutional because TransLink, as a emanation of the government, is there to be even-handed and obey the Charter of Rights, and for it to suppress one form of speech, political speech, was seen as being improper. They took an appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada, and were waiting on a decision from the Supreme Court of Canada as to whether or not they should be entitled to do that, or whether or not the Charter protects us against that. That's just one example. The other example in recent memory, of course, is Bill 42, which is now before the courts as well. And in that, the provincial government, back in the spring session of the legislature, put in place a law that gagged people who wanted to engage in third-party advertising in the period leading up to the next provincial election and during that election. So that, for example, if you want to advertise concerning a particular candidate, there's a limit, I think, of $3,000 for the 4 months or so leading up to and including the provincial election, and the same kind of a limit of $150,000 for what you might want to do if you had a province-wide campaign. Now, if anybody was interested in trying to get their message across and get some attention in the course of an election campaign, anybody who knows about this area will tell you that those kinds of figures are such that you're just not going to be able to have your voice heard.
What kind of special protections in law do the 2010 Olympics have to protect the Olympic brand?
Well, even if they had not gotten any special legislation, VanOck would have been able to have looked to copyright and trademark and similar intellectual property laws that are there for everybody to take advantage of to protect their own goodwill. But VanOck thought that those were not good enough for the purpose, and so they petitioned the federal government to put in place a special statute called the Olympics and Paralympics Marks Act, which basically confirms that the Olympics and Paralympics marks that the International Olympic Committee or Commission and that VanOck have are given the protections of Canadian law so that you can't infringe on those and take unfair advantage of those and appropriate the goodwill that belongs to the Olympics name and brand. So far, so good in terms of that. But in terms of what VanOck has done carrying off from that, they have on their website, if you go to their website under the heading Branding, several pages of materials which talk about how vigorously they intend to enforce their legal position against anybody who may want to engage in what one would consider in other circumstances ordinary behavior of conducting their business. One of the things, if you look at it, as an example of something Vanock thinks is completely inappropriate, a neighborhood bar that puts up a sign in its window saying, come in and watch our TV of the Olympic Games. They say that goes over the line in terms of traipsing onto their turf and appropriating their image and their name just because of the use of the word Olympic. That seems to me to be contrary to common sense, but obviously with a well-heeled organization like Vanock that says in almost threatening language on its website that it's going to take action against anybody who does infringe on what it perceives to be its rights, it would be a rather unequal battle.
Now, you've asked the commissioner of the Competition Bureau to investigate. How does what Vanock has done with buying up the advertising space, how does it violate the Competition Act in your view?
Well, there are several bases for it, and we set those out in a letter that we made public when we issued our press release. And in the Competition Act itself, I should just back up a second and talk about it. The Competition Act is the Canadian equivalent to what in the United States they'd call antitrust laws. And it seeks to ensure that there is a, shall we say, fair play in terms of how the marketplace works, so that free enterprise is actually free, and from our vantage point in this particular context, the free market in people being able to exchange ideas and communicate remains free. In terms of what the statute itself says, we identify several different points. One is that by purchasing all of this advertising space and saying they'll only hand it off to people who are their own authorized sponsor, it amounts to a refusal to deal, and somebody who does monopolize all of a particular service is not permitted to do that because it's an anti-competitive act. It also denies other entrants into the marketplace with what are called inputs needed to compete. In other words, if you think of any other kind of a business, if you need some kind of a resource or facility in order to be able to compete, that if one person sops up basically all of it so that nobody else can get into the business, that's, again, an anti-competitive step. The one that, in my own mind, is perhaps the easiest one to relate to is Section 78(1)(e) of the Act, which says that you're prohibited from a practice that preempts a scarce facility or resource required by a competitor. Now, any competitor in the marketplace who needs to have advertising in order to promote their product, if you have, as Vanock appears to have, preempted all of that scarce facility or resource, which is the advertising that they've taken up, then it strikes me as being a situation where the Competition Bureau will have to look at that and see whether or not anti-competitive behavior is taking place.
Now, some people might say that they may not like that the way that Vanock has done this, but that the time for protesting against the Olympics was before the Games, and that they wouldn't want to see people coming to Vancouver and seeing protests against the Olympics during the Games. What would your response be to that?
Well, that amounts basically to a denial of people's rights of free speech during the course of the Olympics, which is the whole point of us complaining about what Vanock has set out to do here. The fact of the matter is we don't suspend the Charter of Rights for the 10-week period in and around the Olympics and say people don't have a right to speak as they want, and that people don't have a right to think or to carry on and have the protections that Canadian law generally affords during that period of time. To take that kind of a viewpoint would make a mockery of the rationale for inviting people to come to Canada to show them what a special place that we are and the ideals that we do hold up and say that we live by and think are important. The fact of the matter is that Canada is supposed to be a place that is a free and democratic society. If instead of allowing vigorous, free, and democratic activities to take place during the time of the Olympics, we suppress them, then we would be doing a disservice not just to ourselves but to the whole world.
And I spoke with Robert Holmes yesterday. Robert Holmes is the president of the BC Civil Liberties Association.